Thank you, Jordy, for your prayer. We need it. Can we open our Bibles at Second Peter chapter 1? Second Peter chapter 1, and it's Peter himself speaking, and he says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, unto godliness, brotherly kindness, unto brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Upon him, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put ye always in remembrance of these things, that ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir ye up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavour that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Firstly, we want to see that Peter is writing to believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. As he writes in verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Notice that Peter calls our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ precious, as he is writing to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And the reason Peter calls our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ precious is because we have obtained our precious faith through the righteousness of God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul agrees with this, as he states in his letter to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is precious because on the cross at Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ took all our sin, past, present, and future, upon himself and paid the price for all our sin, and in exchange imputed to us his righteousness. And because the price which the Lord Jesus Christ paid, suffering, bleeding, and dying on Calvary's cross, and the agony when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And during those hours of darkness, separate from God the Father, for saith he, for such in the ninth hour, Matthew chapter 27 and 46. In verse 4, Peter states, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What are these great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature? Well, firstly, comes to mind what the Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And what a great and precious promise this is. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Eternal life for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 14, verse 16, the Lord Jesus Christ states, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. The promise of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And Paul states in Romans chapter 3 and 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. The indwelling Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are adopted children of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will be glorified together with him. Here we have the great and precious promise of the indwelling Holy Spirit and to be adopted children of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 1 and 15, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. In these verses, Paul tells us that we are promised an incorruptible body because we have been given victory over death through our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, Paul tells us in Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven, that is our way of life, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And so we see that we have the great and precious promise of an immortal body, fashioned like unto the Lord's glorious body, suited for all eternity. In John chapter 14, verse 1, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Here we see in the great and precious promises that the Lord Jesus Christ is preparing a place for us, and that he will come again and receive us unto himself, and that where he is, there we will also be. The Apostle John tells us in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are faithful and true. And so we can see from these verses the great and precious promises of a new heaven and a new earth, where the Lord himself will dwell with men, and men will be able to dwell with the Lord because of the great and precious promise of an incorruptible, immortal body fashioned like unto the Lord's glorious body. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, where we read, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And through God's word we have followed some of these great and precious promises to their conclusion in Revelation chapter 21, where we find ourselves in the new earth with the Lord Jesus Christ. But before we leave the subject of great and precious promises, we would like to look at what Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Here we see that Paul asks two questions of us. Firstly, he asks, if God be for us, who can be against us? And of course, the answer is no one. Then the second question, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And the answer is that God has given us all things already, because God, when God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And what could God more and given his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God gave us his all. And notice the word freely. God gives freely. God gives without strings attached. And truly, could the Lord Jesus Christ say in John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can give freely. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 and 6 and 7, Peter advises, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And in these verses we see that Peter encourages us to add these seven attributes to our faith. And in Peter's choice of the word diligence, which is in the concordance, is rendered to ensure speedily. So he's saying ensure speedily that these seven attributes are added to your faith. So what Peter is saying is to ensure speedily that you add virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity to your faith. And in verse 8, Peter gives the reason why he so strongly encourages us to add those seven attributes to our faith. As in verse 8 reads, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. In these verses, Peter presents to us do's and don'ts. Do's and don'ts. On the positive side of this debate, we add the seven attributes to our faith. They will make us fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we will make our calling and election sure. And we will never fall and we will have an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. But on the negative side of this debate, if we fail to add these attributes to our faith, Peter warns that they that lack these things are blind and cannot see afar off, and they have forgotten that they were purged from their old sins and could fall. So then, let us now consider on the positive side of this debate. Let us concentrate on the positive side of this debate. If we give all diligence to add to our faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity, we will be fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we will make our calling and election sure, and we will have an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Peter says that if we add these seven attributes to our faith, we will be fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul states in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul says that we are called to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter states that we can do this by giving diligence to add to our faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. And Peter states, if these things be in you and abound, they enable you to make your calling and election sure. Now, election here is not your salvation. Election here is to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness and charity, Peter says, you will become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is the sum of this debate? If you diligently add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness and charity, and then if you don't give diligence to add them to your faith, well, Peter gives the answer in verse 11, where Peter states, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ will enter into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we saw in Philippians chapter 3, that we will receive a new body, fashioned like unto the Lord's glorious body. All believers will be there, and all believers will be changed. But what Peter is telling us that is, it will be only those believers who have given diligence to add to their faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience and godliness, brotherly kindness and charity, that it's only they will have this abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Why? Why? Because in doing so, they have given diligence during their lifetime to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. And the more a believer becomes like the Lord Jesus Christ during their lifetime, and the more spiritual a believer becomes, then the more abundant will their entrance be into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And an abundant entrance means to enter richly. And this rich entrance into the everlasting kingdom is not to enter in with material riches, but to enter with spiritual riches, because material riches will burn up. That is, they will not pass through the fire of the Lord's judgment. And we can see this in Romans 14 and 11, which reads, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And notice, every one shall give an account of himself to God. We will not be asked about anyone else. We will not talk about what any other believer has done or not done. We will only give an account of what we have done. And Paul amplifies this theme in the subject in 1 Corinthians 3 and 11. For other foundation can no man lay than this, that is the Lord, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day will declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he have built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. If all our life's work consists of only material things, we will suffer loss, because material burns and will not pass through the fire of the Lord's judgment. That is the wood, hay, and stubble. But if all our life's work is gold, silver, and precious stones, which equate to our spiritual work, which Peter has been encouraging us to give all diligence to add to our faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. And if you add these attributes to your faith, Peter states that you will have an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. which Paul calls in verse 14 a reward. For Paul states, if any man's work abide which he have built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Again, we can see from God's word through Peter and Paul that if you add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness and charity, that you will have, as Peter says, an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and which Paul calls your reward. So what does an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, involve? What is the believer's reward? Well, in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 19, and the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. In Revelation 20 and 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, and such the second death have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. After that, we have received our new body, fashioned like unto his glorious body. We shall be priests and reign with Christ 1,000 years, when the Lord will return to rule the world from Jerusalem. And after the 1,000 years are fulfilled, the Lord will set up the everlasting kingdom in the new earth. And we read again from Revelation chapter 20 and verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven, a new earth, for the first heaven, first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. As we have read from Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6, Blessed and holy is he that has his part in the first resurrection. On such have the second death no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And in Revelation chapter 21 and 1 we read, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. In these verses, we see that all believers are to be priests and to reign with the Lord for 1,000 years in the millennial kingdom, and then in the new heaven and the new earth, which is the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Then a believer's reward is a believer's abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom, is that the level of their spirituality which they attained during their lifetime. That is, how much they become like their Lord during their lifetime will determine at what level they will take part, firstly, in the government of the millennial kingdom, and then in the government of the everlasting kingdom. Every believer will be there, but how we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, during our lifetime here, will be determined the level at which we will take part or be able to enter in to the administrations in the millennial kingdom and in the new heaven and the new earth. And this is the reason why Peter states in 2 Peter verse 5, Give all diligence to add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity, so that you will have an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And Peter, he feels so strongly about this subject that again in verse 10 he says, Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And Peter, he won't let this matter drop, for again in verse 12, Peter states, Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Look at Peter's choice of words in the verse, negligent and always. Peter will not forget to always put us in remembrance of these things. And again in verse 13 and 14, Peter says, Yeah, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, as long as he's alive, as long as Peter is alive, he's going to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ have showed me. In verse 13 and 14, Peter is saying, As long as I live, I will remember you of these things. And in verse 13, where he says, I will stir you up, and in the Strong's Concordance, stir is rendered, make you fully awake. I will make you fully awake. So Peter is saying, I will make you fully aware, make you fully awake to these things. And Peter feels so strongly about these things that again in verse 15, Peter says, Moreover, I will endeavour that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. He's going to remember you after, put you in remind of these things long after he's dead. And hence we're looking at them this morning, because Peter's dead 2,000 years, absent from the body and present with the Lord, and we're being put in remembrance of these things. Moreover, I will endeavour that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. In verse 15, Peter is saying, after I am dead, I will be diligent to always put you in remembrance of these things. Peter is true to his word, and this is proved by the fact that we are studying these things this morning. So what is at stake? The level at which we are able to enjoy the things of the Lord for all eternity is at stake. And this is why Peter is so forceful to put us in remembrance of these things. For an analogy, take for example a birthday party in a family home. The one-year-old baby son is there, and he is in his high chair, and he's banging his spoon and rattling his plate and gurgling, and he's having a whale of a time at this party. And his older brother is there. He's 5 years old, and it's his birthday, and he's down on the floor playing with his new train set, and he's having a great time. And his older sister is there, and she's 17, but she's waiting for her boyfriend to arrive. And she's wearing a lovely dress and is watching the clock because her boyfriend is due to arrive. And she's at the party. She's having a lovely time. Mum and dad are there, and they are watching their children enjoying themselves at this birthday party, and maybe reminiscing in their minds when at times they were at each of their children's ages. The one-year-old was at the party. The five-year-old was at the party. The 17-year-old was at the party. The parents, mum and dad, are at the party. They were all there. They were all at the party. But the one-year-old had a capacity, the least a capacity and ability to enjoy the party. The five-year-old son was there. He had more ability to enjoy the party. The 15-year-old sister was there and had more ability than him to enjoy the party. And the parents were there who were mature and had the most ability to enjoy the party. They were all there at the party, but they all enjoyed the party. But each had a different ability to enjoy the party. And each believer in the everlasting kingdom will have a different ability to enjoy the everlasting kingdom, which is why Peter is so diligent to put us in remembrance of these things. Will we be diligent and add to our faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity? Will we have an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ? Peter challenges us this morning to be diligent to make it so. Amen. Would you close in prayer, David?
Father, we give you thanks and praise you once again.
Yes.
For our time here this morning. We thank you, Father, for our worship this morning.
Yes.
We thank you, Father, for the minister of thy word and the challenge of it, Father. My faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And we thank you, Father, for the precious blood that flowed at Calvary. What can wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes us white as snow. And we have our precious faith, Father. And we thank you for that precious faith that is the word of God that we will be ready here, Lord, faith. We can add to our faith virtues and knowledge, patience, kindness, brotherly love. And we thank you, Father, for that, the challenge of it. That Peter was so diligent, Lord, in it, as our brother has already said. And we thank you, Father, for the precious promises that have been made They're all precious to the saints, Father. These precious promises that we'll be ever with the Lord. We're saved for all eternity, and there's a great hope that's in our breath. And there's that precious death, because our death is precious to the Lord, the death of the saints. And so, Father, we have so much to thank you for this morning, that you're so precious to us as well, because you gave your Son, who was precious to thee, Lord, and you gave him willingly, and he went willingly to the cross of Calvary, Lord. And we thank you, Father, again for that precious promise that one day we'll be ever with the Lord. We thank you again for Sal, and thank you for the help that you've given him.
Yes.
Because he didn't get much time, Lord, to organise it, Lord. But we thank you and praise you for your word this morning. We can all go rejoicing in Peter chapter 1, that, Lord, that you loved us and you gave yourself for us, and that all these promises are true, and all this preciousness is like a treasure, Father. We thank you in the Saviour's name. So, Father, we thank you again for each and every one before thee. Pray your blessings. Undertake for us. Go before us in the days that may lie ahead. You know what lies before us, Father. But you're in control of all, Lord. And there we are. We have to just bring our precious faith into you and trust you, and pray that you'll continue with us and go before us and undertake for us. Take us from this place, Father. Take us to home and pray, home and safety. Let nothing befall us by the way. And Father, when we return again, we return into a time of prayer, on each with one or the other, Lord. Pray to the throne of grace for each and every one and for our families. We give you thanks in the Saviour's love and precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, David.